1 Samuel 16, verses 12 and 13, page 336 in your Scofield Bible. We'll turn to two other scriptures of just one verse each. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Begin with me, please, on verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Turn now to 2 Samuel, chapter 2, page 356 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read verse 4, Samuel 2, 4. Just this one verse, let's read it together. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. One more verse, chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, verse 3. Likewise, let's read it together. Ready? So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and the king David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for once again bringing us to this place. There are many folks here. Likewise, there are many needs. Father, thou art the worker of all good things, all that which is miraculous. And it would seem to take a miracle to reach the heart of every person and to fulfill the need of everyone present. You've given our preacher a job to do here, and we pray that you'd use him to do just that, which will be helpful to all the people, as you've done so in the past. So do it again, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jennifer was trained out east in pretty high-class places. I mean, I'm talking about places where they can read and write. And she and her fiancé, they got engaged at pastor school, by the way. And those of you who were here will never forget it. They sang a duet, and we had talked to him, and he knew it was going to happen, but she didn't. So when they got through singing, he proposed to her. And but anyway, we're out at youth conference, Jennifer, out there on that pier out there, and Brother Eddie and I were sitting there, and everybody's having a bunch of fun, and Jennifer was jazzing it up a little bit, you know, with the other groups, and Eddie looked over me and said, I wish her music teachers could see her now. Okay. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject between the anointing and the appointing. Between the anointing and the appointing. I want you to listen to me as I give you a bit of introduction, and then I'll try to preach to you. There are three eras in David's life. The era before his first anointing. David was anointed king three times. He was anointed as a boy, I think a teenage lad, and the era was before that. And then he was anointed, and then the era between his anointing and the time he actually became king. About 7 or 7.5 years between the time when David was anointed and the time he became king of Judah. So he was anointed the second time, first time by Samuel when he was a lad as the future king. And then when he became king of Judah, which is just a portion of all of Israel, he was anointed again. Again about 7 or 7.5 years later, he was anointed king over all of Israel. Now, for you to understand that, it's necessary for you to understand what I'm going to preach about tonight. David, a lad, anointed 7.5 years or so before he became king, anointed 7 or 7.5 years later as king of Judah, and later as king of Israel. And I want to talk to you tonight about that time between these two anointings, the anointing and the appointing. Between the time he was anointed king and appointed king, and then between the time he was appointed king of Judah and the time he was appointed king of Israel. I hope you'll listen carefully. Our Heavenly Father, help me tonight to be a blessing to my people. But more than that, help me to help my people, our precious members of our church. I pray that tragedy should be averted and avoided in the lives of many as I try to speak tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you, turn me up just a bit, please. Let me ask you to listen carefully as I lay the foundation for what I'm going to say tonight. It was the time of the annual sacrificial feast. Samuel is sent by God to the house of Jesse for the purpose of anointing one of Jesse's sons to replace Saul as the king. One by one, they're projected and rejected until Samuel sends for the youngest son, David, who was out taking care of the sheep. No doubt he was youngest son. I'm not sure of that, but I think he was youngest son. And David came and was anointed as king, future king, over Israel. David was short of stature. He had red or auburn hair, of a fair countenance. Bible says he was comely, which no doubt means a good looking. He was a goodly person, the Bible says, which includes a goodly mannered person and a goodly looking person. He was of immense strength and agility. He was called wild as a gazelle. He had feet, the Bible says, like those of a deer or a hart. He was strong enough to break a bow of steel, the Bible says. And so this amazing young man, teenager, if you please, was anointed as future king of Israel. However, follow me carefully, after the anointing, David resumed his accustomed duties. He returns to the old shepherd life, and there for a period of years continues his duties that he had had before he was anointed as the future king of Israel. It is about 7.5 years before David is really the king, the anointed king, or the appointed king. David, don't run to your chances to become king. David, you've been anointed king, but you're a teenage lad. You're going to face the temptations of your lifetime. David, don't blunder. Don't do something to wreck your chances to become king. David, you're handsome. You're strong. You're young. Many a young lady would like to have you fall. David, don't blow it, son, because you are the future king. But you're in that part of your life that might be the most difficult part to stay clean and to do what you ought to do. These are the most tempting years of your life. God has a job for you, David. Don't disqualify yourself for that job. You have been anointed. Now, between the time that you've been anointed and the time that you will be appointed, don't do something that'll keep you or prevent you from being appointed to what you've been anointed to do. About 7.5 years later, David is anointed king over all of Israel. Now, follow me carefully. David, okay, I'm going to divide into three eras here. Here is David before he was anointed as future king. And here is David as he was anointed the king of Judah, a portion of the people. And here is the day when David was anointed as the king of all of Israel. Now, David, you finally have gotten anointed. And I commend you because you have kept your life clean and you're qualified to become king of Judah. But David, out yonder still farther is what you were meant to be. Out yonder still farther is what you were meant to do. Don't mess it up, David. You're king of Judah, a portion of God's people, but God has something bigger. Now, David, between here and there, don't mess it up. You have been appointed and yet anointed again to be appointed later. So you've been anointed over here to be appointed here, and anointed again here to be appointed over here. But David, don't mess it up. Don't mess up these middle years of your life, if you please. These young adult years of your life. David, I want you to reach your fullest. I want you to reach your full potential, David. I tell you, be careful about it. Now, I'm going to talk to everybody here tonight, but not everybody at the same time. Everybody's going to listen at the same time. But I want to talk to you, different ones of you tonight. First, I'd like to talk to you young people who are in love. Someone has been anointed to be your wife. Someone has been appointed to be your wife. You have found the right one. Perhaps you're going steady. Maybe you're engaged. And so what it amounts to is someone has been anointed by you to be your wife. And someone has been anointed, young lady, by you to be your husband. Now listen carefully to me. Don't mess it up. Between the engagement and the altar, don't mess it up. Don't do something that would cause you to not be the right kind of appointed one. One of the most important times of your life, young couples, between that time that you find the right one and the time that you marry that right one. Don't mess it up. Listen to what Brother Howe says while he preaches. Obey what's preached from this pulpit here. Obey what's taught at Howe's Anderson College and Hammond Baptist Schools. You found the right one. That one has been anointed by you to be your mate for life. Now between now and the altar, don't mess it up. I want you to have a happy wedding. I want you to have a great marriage. I want the altar to be your first gift to each other. I want your parents to be pleased at your wedding. I want you clean and pure when you walk out that door, young man, and walk down that aisle, young lady. Let your wedding day be your coronation day. Let your honeymoon be your introduction to intimacy. Let your first kiss be as husband and wife. I said, let your first kiss be as husband and wife. I said, let your first kiss be as husband and wife. Don't use up the joys of marriage before your wedding day. Let your white gown not be the whitewashing of an unclean sepulcher, but let your life be as spotless as your wedding gown. Wait until your day of atonement before your high priest shares with you the Holy of Holies. Be careful during that period between the appointing and the anointing. Don't listen to the playboy crowd. Don't date the lover boy of the class. Don't date the short-wearing, paint-wearing, mixed swim-and-going, rebellious, critical, self-centered, disobedient young hussy in your class. Don't date the long-haired, smart-aleck, earring-wearing rebel. No matter how cute he is, don't date him. Wait till the appointing. I tremble as I look back at my life between during my teenage years. I tremble as I look back to graduation day or senior day when I was double dating my date and I were double dating with another couple, and they wanted to go to a nightclub and I wouldn't go. It was on Sunday night. I wouldn't have gone on Monday night either. They wanted to go to a nightclub. My best friend. And I said, Richard, you know better than that. Your dad's a deacon. And you know, we're supposed to be in church on Sunday night. But Richard said, Jack, listen to me. You only have senior day one time. Yeah, I know. You got judgment day one time too, by the way. Only have senior day one time. My date, Peggy Render, said to me, you mean we're going to go to church tonight on senior day? I said, that's where I'm going. I don't know where you're going. And Richard's date, B. Tate, said, I can't believe this. I can't believe that, Jack, that on senior day, you wouldn't want to go with us to a nightclub. I said, I don't go to nightclubs any day, but I'm going to church tonight. And Richard pulled over beside the road and said, Jack, you're a party pooper. You're killing a good time for all of us. He said, let's compromise. Let's go to a drive-in movie instead. And I said, Richard, I am going to church. I tremble when I think what might have happened if I'd have gone to that drive-in movie that night. Thank God! Thank God! Some preacher stood and preached to me like I'm preaching to you. Thank God! My mama taught me like we're trying to teach you. Richard said, we'll just take you home. We'll go to the drive-in movie. I said, okay, go ahead, take me home. They took me home. I called Mrs. Render, Peggy's mother, and told her that I was no longer responsible for her daughter. And I went to church that night. Now listen, you're going to face some same temptations in your life. I'm saying, from now to the time that you're appointed, don't do anything that would keep you from doing anything that God might call you to do. I tremble when I think of that night. I sat in front of the Texas Theater, a triple date. I was set up for it, trying to steal my purity and my integrity. And they had a whiskey bottle. And the driver of the car, 1 o'clock in the morning, we stayed out. I've never been out past 11 o'clock, and that's late enough for anybody to stay out. And so about that first time in my life, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, I was out past 11. The driver of the car took out a bottle of whiskey. It's an old story, but I won't tell it to you. And he drank from it. He gave it to his date beside him in the front seat, and she drank from it. She gave it to the young man beside her in the front seat, and he drank from the whiskey bottle. He passed it back to his date behind him, and she drank the whiskey bottle. He passed it to my date in the middle of the back seat, and she drank from it, and they gave it to me. And for the first time in my life, I held a whiskey bottle in my hand. I didn't want to be different. I didn't want, by the way, you shouldn't run with a crowd where you've got to be different. I took that whiskey bottle because I was ashamed to be different. And I raised it toward my lips, about that far from my lips. And all of a sudden, a pain, an arrow, like an arrow pierced my breast. And I tossed it up in the air, and it spilled on everybody in the car but me. And I said, take me home. I shudder tonight. I shudder tonight. What would have happened if I'd taken a drop of a swallow of that whiskey? I shudder. There may not be any First Baptist Church of Hammond tonight. The ministry of Hiles Anderson College in its birth would have been aborted tonight if I'd taken, no doubt, taken a drink of that whiskey. Let me tell you something, young people. There's a reason why we want you to be clean. There's a reason why we don't want you taking a drink. There's a reason why we want you to stay pure. There's a reason why we don't want you holding hands before you get married. There's a reason why we don't want you embracing or kissing before you get married. There's a reason why we want that first kiss to be at the altar as husband and wife. And that reason is this. We want you to be able to do anything that God in heaven might want you to do someday. Now, let me address the couples who are married. You've already been anointed back yonder when you got engaged. You have become married as David became king of Judah. But you have been anointed again that someday you'll become king of all Israel. I'm saying you've already gotten married. But there's yet, as there was for David when he became king of Judah, there was yet unexplored territory. Let me say to you folks who are married tonight, out yonder is what your marriage was meant to be. Out yonder is what is the end of a fulfilling life. Keep your love warm. Put each other first. Keep your honeymoon love. May the kisses grow sweeter and the caresses grow warmer and the words grow more romantic. Do not ever use the cliche, and I hate this cliche. I love you, I love you, but it's a different kind of a love that I had when I got married. Hogwash on that, brother. Give me that same old kind. Do not ever use that cliche and fool you on that different kind of love. Even Jesus told his people he wanted first love. He said, repent and return to your first love. I'm saying learn the term babysitter. Don't forget the terms like smooch, neck, pet, Gucci goo, lover's lane, I love you, sweetheart, darling, honey, lovey-dovey, and boopsy-woopsy. Don't forget those words. I'm saying, couples, you're married. You've already come to where David was and known the first time, but there's more territory to explore out there, and you become more in love with the passing of every day. You become more romantic with the passing of every day, more thoughtful with the passing of every day. I'm saying, not only should you stay, be careful between the time you're anointed to become the king someday and the time you become the king the first time, but during the intervening years, let your love mature and become the marriage that you were meant to have one day. Stay attractive. Be best friends. Let each other be your golf game. Let each other be your night out with the boys. Don't let your love grow cold. I'm saying, one day you said, she's the one for me. In your own heart, you anointed her as your future wife. Now between that time and the altar, in God's name, stay clean and stay pure. Well, I just don't agree with the rules of Howells Anderson College. Well, you've been dumb about other things too. I just don't see eye to eye with Brother Howells. Well, okay, then get high enough where you can look me in the eye. Well, we just differ on a few things. Get right, we'll agree on all of them. You say you think you're always right. I think when I'm going versus a teenager, I'm always right. I've said it before, there's more brains than that little finger you got in your head, teenager. I'm saying tonight, I'm trying to give you a life that's happy and full of joy and fulfillment and complete between the time you choose her and the time you marry her. Don't touch her. And then when you've married her, live it up. And let every day of that marriage go sweeter. And you love her when you've been married a half a century with the same affectionate, passionate, romantic love that you loved her with the first day that you said, I do. Now I'd like to have a word with you preacher boys. You have been called. And by the way, if you're 9 years old and been called, you've already been anointed. You're somebody. If God calls you to preach and you're 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, doesn't matter. And God called you to preach and you answered that call of God, you were anointed. That means you're somebody special. And that means you're not supposed to hobnob with the rebels at Hammond Baptist Schools. You're somebody special. Not only are you a child of the King, you've been anointed by the King. It may be that you're a grade school lad, or junior high, or high school, or college boy. But you have been called and anointed of God. You may be in high school. Remember, Jeremiah was called of God before, while he was yet in his mother's womb. Remember, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit while he was yet in the womb of Elizabeth. If God Almighty has called you, listen to me, preacher boy. Listen to me, preacher boy. If you're a preacher boy on a basketball team, Hammond Baptist High School, and somebody says something they shouldn't say, you ought not to be a part in it. You've been anointed by God. David, you've been anointed as king in these 7.5 years between the time you're anointed and the crown is on your head as the king of Judah. David, watch out. And preacher boys, in that period between your call and the time that you're pastor of a Baptist church, you keep yourself clean and pure and decent. Keep yourself honest. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself diligent. The ministerial highway is strewn with the wrecked lives of young men who have messed up between the anointing and the appointing. What a tragedy for a young man who's been called of God to do something before he's ever appointed, to keep him from ever being a preacher, ever being a pastor. I could look all over this room tonight and tell you, young men who've wrecked their chances someday to stand where I stand right now. Boy, I thank God tonight that I had a preacher that preached like I'm preaching tonight. I thank God I had a mother that pounded in my head, son, you're something special. My preacher said, Jack, now that you've been called a priest, you're something special. You're anointed. You're God's man. You don't wait to be God's man when you get in the pulpit. When God called, David was your highness out there taking care of the sheep. And I tremble as I think about that time between the time I was called of God. On a Watson night service about 11:30, I tremble when I think of those years between my anointing and my appointing as pastor of the Morris Chapel Baptist Church of Bogota, Texas, out in the country, I tremble when I think about the Army. I tremble when I realize that we had won the... I was chosen the all-star softball pitcher for the entire 50,000 troops in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I was played in the championship playoffs of the seven Southern states, the entire Seventh Army. I was chosen the all-star softball pitcher for the entire Seventh Army, the seven Southern states. Time came for us to celebrate. I was the only enlisted man. Now, you lay people don't know what that means. Enlisted man is somebody who's not yet a lieutenant, sergeant and under. I was the only enlisted man, a man that wasn't an officer, on the team. Colonels. A colonel played first base. Majors. Captains. Lieutenants. One little enlisted man. I was the pitcher. We were celebrating the championship. Went down to the office, the day room it was, we called it. Down to the day room. And they had a liquor party. They passed the liquor around, celebrating our championship game. They said, "Come on, Jack, take a drink." And I said, "I don't drink." Those officers said, "We command you to drink." And I said, "There's somebody higher ranked than you that commanded me not to drink." Colonel, started with an H, I forgot his name, Homely, he said, "I order you to take a drink." I said, "You order all you want to. My mama's got more rank on me than you have, and my God's got more rank, and I'm not going to take your dirty liquor. I'm not going to do it." Those officers got me on my back and tried to force liquor through my lips. But as you know, my jawbones, the muscles are the strongest muscles I've got. And bless God, they didn't get one drop inside. I tremble. I've been anointed. I've been called to preach. I've never pastored. I've never been appointed. But bless God, not one drop got in my mouth. And bless God, when I stood to pastor the Morris Chapel Baptist Church of Bogota, Texas, I was qualified. Why? Because I washed it between my anointing and my appointing. Now let me talk for a moment to you who have been appointed. You've been anointed back here. You finished your college. You finished your training. You now are on the staff of First Baptist Church of Hammond. You now teach at Howells Henderson College. You're now principal of a school of Hammond Baptist Schools or City Baptist Schools. You're now on the staff of one of our schools, our church, or our college. You have not only been anointed back yonder, but you trained, and now you're appointed. Let me tell you something. There's more ground to cover. David was anointed, and then he was appointed, and then he was anointed again. David, there's all of Israel out there. Don't mess it up. Oh, let me tell you something. Many a person messes it up between the first appointing and the second appointing. And I say to those of you, be careful, principals. There remaineth a long and happy time until you reach that fulfillment. Brother Vogel, you're a young man compared to me. You've got a lot of years left. You look young from your head down. Yeah. I like what Uncle Bud Robinson said. How come your hair is black and your beard is white? No, my hair is white and your beard is black. He said, "I get it, because my hair on my head is 20 years older than the hair on my chin." But you're a young man. You've been anointed. You've been trained at Howells Anderson College and appointed. Same thing with you, Brother Bush. All you go on, you've already been disjointed. Forget it, son. You're too old to be tempted. So are you. You're too ugly to be tempted. So are you. You're too dumb to be tempted. You're too skinny to be tempted. I'm saying, you guys on the platform and you folks that teach in our schools, I'm a little tired of our somebody who's been anointed and appointed, chosen to represent God. I'm sick of you messing up your life. Become all you can become. Be careful, school staff. Be careful, college staff. Be careful, teachers in City Baptist School, Hammond Baptist School, and Howells Anderson College. Be careful, college administrators. Be careful, principals. Be careful. There may have yet another anointing, a rich and full life. I think of Rehoboam, who messed up between the second and third anointing. I think of Saul, who messed up between the second and third anointing. I think of Solomon, who messed up between the second and third anointing. I have not to mention Jeroboam, Jehoshaphat, Abiram, Omri, Baasha, Elah, Jehoram, Jehoash, and others who were chosen and anointed by God. But once they got by the throne, once they sat on the throne and had the crown on their head and the scepter in their hand, the robe on their back, between that anointing time and that final time when David became king of all Israel, they messed it up. Bless God, I'm 70 years old. I thank God tonight I'm still going strong for God. I thank God I've come pretty close to reaching my potential. I thank God as I reach the sunset days of my life, I thank God I'm still preaching. I thank God I'm still in the battle. I'm saying, those of you who are children over here, you little children, you've not been anointed the first time yet. You keep yourself like you ought to be so you can be anointed the first time. And those of you that have been called of God, and those of you that have been anointed, you keep yourself clean until you're appointed. And those who have been appointed, you keep yourself clean until you've reached the fullest of life. And so you can say with the apostle, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith, I've fought the good fight. Show me the list of preachers, 70 or older, who are still fighting. Somehow or other, the casualties take place between that anointing and the possible fulfillment of a life in ministry. Now, in closing, let me talk a while to the children and young people. I spent some time talking about those who've been anointed and those who've been appointed. Now I want to talk to you children about those who have not yet been anointed. Obey your parents. Be strong. Work hard. Stay clean. Make the best grades you can. We ought to emphasize that some. We talk so much about soul winning and Bible study. I want to tell you something. You're not a good Christian unless you make the best grades you can make. You get buyers who could get hires. Run with the right crowd. Be the David in your school. Be the David in your house. Be honest. When I sat in Mr. Duddle's Sunday school, Mr. Duddle's English class in Addison High School, never dawned on me that someday I would make my living with words. Never dawned on me I'd write 43 books someday, and several of those books of poetry. Never dawned on me that someday I'd be writing articles and for papers and so forth. Never dawned on me. Mr. Duddle came out there, as you've heard me do so often. She come out there every day, and she was the ugliest thing you ever saw in your life. She invented ugly. She was Miss Ugly America of 1943. She's 6'4", 225 pounds, played tight end for the Dallas Cowboys during the fall and winter. Was all pro. Her nose looked like a weed whacker. She'd come out there in English class. Oh, boys and girls, guess who we're studying today? They'd say, Mickey Mouse? Babe Ruth? Joe DiMaggio? No. Today we're studying Chaucer. We're going to study the cups too, or just the Chaucers? She didn't hear us. She was carried away. Today, Listen to this, boys and girls. Van Darapini with his short sorte. The draught of March is pressure to the roti, and Bob in every vein in sweet liqueur. She'd say, she'd come the next day, boys and girls, guess who we're studying today? Joe Louis. Guess who we're studying today? Jack Dempsey. No, we're studying William Cullen Bryan. Who's he play for? She'd say, oh, listen to these immortal words. I wish they'd been more mortal and died a long time ago. She'd say, so live that when thy summons comes to join that innumerable caravan that sweeps to the endless portals of death, go thou not as the quarry slave, scourged to his dungeon, but soothed and sane, sustained by an unfaltering trust. Wrap thy coat about thee as one. I don't know what she said. So live that when thy summons come to join that innumerable caravan that sweeps in his portals of death, go down as a quarry slave at night, but sustained in sooth and faltering trust, approach thy grave as one wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams. How'd I do the second time? Thank you. Thank you. Now I'll quote the book of Revelation. It'll be the first dollar you ever gave in church. I'd sit there in that English class. Little did I know we conjugated those sentences that someday I'd be writing 43 books. Young people, study. Study. Between the time of your birth and the time that God anoints you with your purpose in life, you prepare yourself so you can do anything that God wants you to do. Be honest, pure, decent, punctual. You sit behind your desk as pastor of this church someday, and you have a young lady walk in and say, Brother Hiles, I'm pregnant. Young ladies, I want to say this to you. If you don't listen to what's preached from this pulpit and live by it, you are crazy. She walks in and says, Brother Hiles, I'm pregnant. Maybe your parents are with her. Where did you meet this boy? Oh, I met him out in the world. You wouldn't have met him out in the world if you hadn't been out in the world. But you let that same young lady I'm talking about, I said, who's the father? And she calls his name, and that young man, this young man that God has called to preach at First Baptist Church at Hammond. And every chance of preaching is wiped off the slate. You can never be anointed. God may have called you to preach, but you've messed up your life. Come with me to my office as I perform a ceremony of a couple that love each other, and I feel they should get married, though she is probably 4 months pregnant. Come with me to my office for a while. Watch me as I stand there, and here's the pregnant bride, and there's the groom. A couple of parents with their dreams dashed. No bright white wedding gown, no train, no candles, no beautiful music, no tuxedos, no formal gowns for the attendants, just about five of us in the office there. She's got a maternity dress on. You see what I see and you'd preach like I preach. You see what I see and you wouldn't criticize me for preaching like I preach either. God has something for you to do. And all I'm saying, suppose that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had gotten impure. Isaiah 7:14 said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. She couldn't have qualified. But Mary had kept herself so that anything that God wanted Mary to do, she could do. And so I talk tonight to those of you who are not yet, you're still children. So live so behave, so study, so work, so obey your parents. So when God comes along and anoints you, you, like King David, can be qualified. And in between those days of your anointing and your appointing, you behave yourself like David did. You walk with God like David did. Keep yourself pure and decent like David did. And those of you who have already been appointed, you're serving in the will of God for your life. Out yonder somewhere is what you can become. Engaged couples, you've been anointed but not appointed. Behave yourself till you get married. Once you get married, you've been appointed, but you've got a whole life ahead of you. Spend that whole life together. Let your love grow deeper and deeper and deeper until you reach the fullness of joy and happiness that God wants you to have. Young people, called of God, anointed, between the time of your anointing and the time, oh boy, I tell you what, you just don't know the joy if you've been called to preach of standing up and pastoring your first church. A little old country church in East Texas, and I was pastor of a Baptist church. Bless God. I was happy as a Juneberg bug on May the 31st. Boy, I tell you, I was happy as could be. Went out, and as I told you before, I painted my name in a watercolor brush and a little can of paint like that. Jack Hiles, pastor, out on the sign. Misspelled the word pastor. Spelled it P-A-S-T-E-R. Wrote myself a letter, Pastor Jack Hiles, 2007 North Franklin Street. Addressed it to myself so the postman could know I was pastor. Put a return address, Jack Hiles. Reverend Jack Hiles. I may have put doctor, I don't know. Pastor of the Morris Chapel Baptist Church in Gilder, Texas. And let me tell you something tonight. I wish everybody could know the joy of reaching near 70 and still be in there, brother. Still be in there. Hang on, young men. Hang on, staff members. Hang on, young people. Stay in there, children. Make it so. Whatever God wants you to do, by the grace of God, you can do it. Now tonight, the invitation is like this. You children who are not obeying your parents, not making the best grades you can at school, I want you on your knees down at this altar. Or somewhere in the aisle, somewhere. You teenagers, you young men that God has called you to preach, you're 9 or 19 or somewhere in between. You've been anointed by God, called of Almighty God. I want you to, if you've been tempted to waver, to stray from the path, I want you to get on your knees tonight, look up and say, Dear God, I'm not appointed yet, but I'm anointed. Between the anointing and the appointing, I'm going to stay right with God. You people that have already gotten there, but you've got a whole life to serve. You're just starting in the last few years your service for God. The appointing! There's still some years out yonder, like the word for David. There's the entire nation of Israel out there. One day he'll become king of Israel. David, watch yourself while you're king of Judah. There's more ground to conquer out there. Just be what you ought to be so you can someday do anything that God wants you to do. Our Heavenly Father,